everybody. Welcome back to Banterbox, a review podcast run by the team here at Mad Artists. Each week, we'll be breaking down a different production, whether it's a movie, TV show, whatever. We say each week, we'll see. And this week, we watched... We watched Twisted, the untold story of a royal vizier.
We're back, baby!
We are back after our hiatus.
We're back!
And everyone just clicked off this episode. Well, my name is Danielle. Here are the mad artists that I have with me to help break this down today.
Hey, everyone, it's Samuel. We're back.
Hi, it's Russell. I have returned. I am returned.
It's little John.
What's up, everybody? It's Tyler.
Well, we have finally watched what Tyler has been trying to get us to watch for ages. That's exactly how he started watching the movie last night. Mm-hmm. Well, first impressions to the one person who I think has seen this before.
This is my favorite musical of all time. That includes Broadway musicals, that includes everything. Movie musicals, I don't care. This is the best musical of all time, in my humble opinion, and it speaks so much to so many things that I love in life and in musicals. And I'm so glad that I got to share this with you, even though I have a sneaking suspicion.
Well, how did you get exposed to it?
So, I have been a fan of Star Kids productions for a minute. They got super, super popular, and the musical that kind of started all of this was their Very Potter musical.
I haven't seen all of it, but I've seen a lot of it, and I do enjoy it.
Yeah, it's enjoyable, right? It's definitely not their best work, but it's what launched them into the public eye by them just making for fun a musical, recording it and posting it on YouTube, and it just exploded. Mm-hmm. It went viral very quickly. That success actually propelled. Well, I'm going into backstory stuff that we'll get to in a second, but all that's to be said. I followed their work. I really liked what they did with Very Potter musical, and then the Very Potter sequel was like downright hilarious. That I was like, this stuff is pretty good. I need to keep an eye on them. So as they're releasing stuff, I'm like watching some of their stuff, and then I fell off for a couple of years. And when I went back, they had two musicals that dropped that I haven't seen yet, and that was Twisted and Starship Ranger. Starship Ranger was very, very good in its own right, but it's a separate thing. And I saw Twisted just because I'm like, oh, Jafar, that's kind of neat. And I started watching it, and by the time I was, like, bawling my eyes out by the middle of the show, I was like, yeah, this is actually pretty good. And then I went on a mission to show it to everybody. I showed this musical to everybody who I've ever gotten close to, because... similar to how Arsenic and Old Lace is your litmus test, Samuel, for whether or not you fuck with these people.
Well, there you go. There's the first one, Samuel.
Twisted. I think this one's going to have to be explicit.
Oh, okay, great. Then let's not worry about it, because this one, I mean, you're right.
Did I curse?
Yes, you did.
How?
You said, brother. You said, this is how I tell if
we're
I fuck
not going
with these
this
people.
Again. You just have to trust us by this point.
Did I really?
Yes!
Like, straight up.
But it's okay,
up.
Because with how this I'm just going to call it a show. With how this show is, it's like, it's going to be really hard for us to talk about it without cursing a lot and being really inappropriate. So we're just going to, call this one E and everyone will deal with it. Continue.
Fuck me, I'm sorry. So, anywho, so it's not necessarily a litmus test of whether or not we could be friends as much as it's a litmus test of whether
Frosty
or not Frosty
has
will
thoughts.
Shut up.
No, Frosty has thoughts.
He's like,
he
I love
assists.
The musical.
He actually did watch it.
Yeah. Oh, did he?
Yeah.
That's great. Are we friends now that he watched it?
No.
But, well, so you passed the terrible litmus test. So, this is kind of a test to see whether or not my friends would like me. Because I feel like this show and me are so close, like, in spirit and in concept, that I'll show this to them. And I'm like, if they like it, I'm curious if that means they'll fuck with my energy as well. So
it's funny that you waited until all of us are really close to you, and, like, we clearly already fuck with you, and then you're like, now let's see if they like me.
Because I already like you guys, and I'm not going to let it be ruined by you guys not jiving with this, which I anticipate.
It would be so funny if, like, well, I mean... it wouldn't be funny, but as, like, a meme, if we were all just, like,
we're not friends at Tyler anymore because this musical was
because we didn't like this musical. Now, and through watching this musical, we actually figured out that we don't like you, and so like we've actually gathered you here to just dismiss you.
Wow, we really don't like him.
So we just reach over, unplug his mic, and just
we're like please, you may leave the table.
The
now.
Smiles drop, and immediately it's like, we're not kidding. Leave. Whoa, oh my god. Can I finish my coffee? No.
No.
I'll finish it. But
you can keep the cup, your lips have already touched it.
Right.
No, he cannot keep that cup. That's my cup that changes like it to be the Marauder's mouth.
So anywho, so my first impressions of it are just it's just such a it's like I was saying before we started recording. This musical ropes you in with dick jokes and cursing and profanity. And it makes you think, oh, this is going to just be one of those, like, really slap stupid, like, I love this. This is just ha-ha, hee-hee. But then right when they get to about maybe 30, 35 minutes in, the musical shifts and just becomes something with a lot more substance than you would expect. And as that substance starts to come in, it starts to kind of balance out the entire production to make it not just this, like, riotously funny show, as much as it's just this like really complete package. I fucking love this musical so much. So that's me. I'm curious,
had any of us already watched this?
I had seen this one other time.
Okay.
Like years ago, like when I was in, I think I was a sophomore in high school.
I had seen the first 15 minutes of it.
Yes, Samuel watched the first 15 minutes a few months ago and had told me about it. And I think showed me just like a little snippet from the first number.
He's like, this is neither good, wholesome, nor Christian. And I don't like it.
And that's the comment that he left under the YouTube video. So what was your, how did you get exposed to it, Russell?
I actually had an ex-girlfriend who showed it to me.
Mm.
And so.
Which one?
Yeah, say her name right here.
Her full name is.
Well, I'll start with her address.
If you go on this road, turn left here. No, and she showed it to me because she was a huge musical person, and she knew that I loved Aladdin. Like, Aladdin is my top three favorite Disney movies of all time. And so I was just like, all right, well, then I got to watch it. And I just, like, remember being so, like, moved by it. I was like, this is incredible. And then I watched it again yesterday, and it just, like, brought it all back, weirdly, to, like, watching it with my ex. So now I don't like it. I'm just kidding.
John,
of course.
So, John,
of course
you,
I liked it.
You, me, and Russell Samuel, I believe, just saw this for the first time yesterday. Is that correct?
I've never seen it before. I've heard of Starkid and I've seen snippets of their work, but I haven't seen Twisted itself, no.
How'd you feel about it?
I feel like it was a good time. I genuinely did have fun watching it, despite just it being a long day last night.
John is safe.
I am safe. But yeah, no, I thought it was a lot of fun. It's definitely had my bits and pieces of my kind of humor in there. But overall, I mean, it was enjoyable. I had a blast.
Nice.
And now for you two.
This is what Tyler has been waiting
like
for.
We don't like parody musicals, or we don't like parodies.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, Samuel, you go first.
Oh, God.
Here's the thing.
Samuel is not safe.
Yes, he hasn't said anything yet.
I actually really enjoyed it.
Wait, really?
Yes.
I'm just kidding.
It's definitely not everyone's cup of tea, mm-hmm. And it's definitely not even usually my cup of tea.
Okay.
It definitely was a little long.
Yeah.
And there's some stuff in it that I definitely didn't love, but it also made me outwardly laugh probably over a dozen times, which means clearly that it's a funny, good musical.
Let's go! Okay, that's awesome. I love that.
Thanks for coming on the podcast, guys.
All right, and we're going to end it there.
Cutting it right there.
In my fantasy of everyone liking my musical.
So, I actually agree.
Okay.
So this was, again, so I have a problem, and I don't know if I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I know I've talked about this to some of you before. I have an issue when being shown something that has been really hyped up for me.
I know.
I can't emote. Like, I'm watching it, and I just want to be as, like, unbiased either direction as possible. Because growing up, even if I hated what someone was showing me, I would just, like, want to like it for them. And so I would just be, like, laughing and, like, ah. And then they would show it to me a million times, and I'd be like, okay, I shouldn't have said I liked this. And so now I just do nothing in either direction. And so it may seem like when I'm watching something, like, I just absolutely hate it or that I'm not vibing with it. But that's not always true. It's just that, like, that's how my brain works, is, like, don't show any outward emotion ever.
God forbid.
God forbid. because it's like, you know, I don't want to show a fake emotion, and I also don't want to, like, show a very, like, real emotion if it's going to then hurt the feelings of the person who's showing it to me and might constantly be going, like, looking at me in, like, in the funny parts.
I was looking
parts.
At both of you.
I could feel you looking at me, and so I was just like, if I...
I was just checking, like, in!
And so I was just like, I can't, like, show anything, because if it's good, then, like, he's gonna get too excited, and then he won't stop talking. Or if it's bad, then he's gonna just get really sad and go to his room. And so I was like, I can't show anything.
The second one's not true. At the last part, it was true in the first part, but the first part was also true.
Great sentence
there. Deep cuts.
All that to say, I did enjoy it. It does have like a lot of my humor. Like Samuel said, there's some stuff that I was like, eh. But a lot of, like, what was happening, I was really enjoying. The performances were just fabulous.
Yeah.
Vocally and acting wise, I was very, very impressed. Even when they would have ever so slight mistakes that, like, only a voice teacher would hear, it was a professional level mistake.
Yes.
Where they immediately recovered, didn't let it get in their head, and kept moving. And I was just like, ooh, like, okay, I like these people.
Which, I mean, that's something any performance of any musical is going to have.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I was even kind of looking for them, because they weren't often. Like, it was very few and far between. And so I was very, very impressed by the vocal performance, for sure. And the acting as well, even for something that's this over the top. What I appreciated the most was that at the end of the day, this, you know, this silly, goofy thing did actually make me care about the central characters, which is something that not a lot of parodies do.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, it's like, oh, you watch a parody and you're just kind of like, I don't really care what happens. It's just for the laughs, like, whatever. But I actually did care what was going to happen to Jafar and what was going to happen to the princess and, you know, things like that. And so, like, at the end of the day, that's, like, the thing I appreciate most. But yeah, I liked it. It did, like, I won't say outwardly laugh, because again, I didn't let myself, but it definitely let me inwardly laugh several times.
Danielle, ever.
I didn't let myself laugh, so I just didn't laugh.
I didn't outwardly laugh, but that's only because I didn't let myself laugh.
But no, there were several moments that got me. Again, like Samuel said, we were talking about it on the drive home. There were a lot of, like, things that I felt like could have been, like just some moments that could have been cut to make it a little shorter, because it was very, very long and kind of felt like it was dragging at certain points. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, okay, we don't really need this song. I think we can skip it and move to the next scene. And there were a few of those, but again, it wasn't like something that destroyed my ability to enjoy it. But with how tired I was, it was a situation where I was just like, all right, we got another musical number. Here we go.
Yeah.
Like, strap in.
And that's a good point too, because this musical, like you said, is so over the top. It's so much, right? Mm-hmm. It's a lot. And so I feel like the ideal viewing scenario is coming with an empty cup. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, just ready.
Don't you
to
dare throw that.
No, that wasn't a reference. I was just trying to say, like, I don't know if that's referencing something, but I feel like you need to.
It's
come
referencing
ready.
A story I've told him before, but he's not remembering it.
My brain's not working right now. But no, I feel like you need to be in a position to, like, really receive a lot of stuff. And if you're coming into it after a long day where you're just ready to decompress, not the musical,
no,
not the time. and about 15 minutes into the musical, I'm like, maybe I should have pushed for this to be done in the morning. That's fine. That's not a big deal. They'll still get the point.
But it didn't, like I said, it didn't destroy my ability to enjoy it.
I love,
like,
that. I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah. Like, I was tired, and that was definitely affecting, like, you know, just, like, how I was taking it in, but it wasn't destroying it.
Yeah.
But this show premiered in 2013. It was directed by Brian Holden, written by Matt Lang, Nick Lang, I'm assuming they're brothers, yep, and Eric Congale, and stars Dylan Saunders as Jafar, and I don't know if she pronounces it. I'm going to butcher her name. I don't know if it's Rachel or Raquel Soglin as Princess. You can watch this on YouTube for free, like we did. And the IMDb summary for this. So the IMDb summary is like a little excessive. One of the longer summaries I've seen. A retelling of Disney's Aladdin 1992 from the perspective of Jafar. That's the summary.
Are you kidding?
That's the whole summary.
Okay.
That's it.
Do you want me to give the summary?
Well, no. I have the whole plot breakdown here, but that's just the IMDb summary.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, that's it, which is unexpected, because usually they have, like, a few sentences about, like, what happens in the thing.
Yeah, that's
but
kind
that
of
was
insane.
It. And I was like, wow, okay. Yeah, this is going to be an interesting podcast, because, so since this is, you know, a musical that you can just, like, watch for free and just is kind of what it is, there's a lot less in my like normal categories to talk about, and so like this might end up being a shorter one. We will see, although the plot is very in depth.
Oh, yeah.
So does anyone have any opening thoughts before I dive into the plot here?
Do you want me to give a little background on some of the production team stuff?
Sure, yeah, because since, you know, yeah. yes, since we couldn't find anything, please do.
So StarKid Productions was originally started by four people, Brian Holden, Matt and Nick Lang, who are brothers, mm-hmm, and they were the head writers for practically everything up until a certain point, to where I believe they, I think Nick Lang got on Broadway.
Ooh, good
and,
for him.
And like actually started popping off. The fourth and final member, founding member of StarKid, Darren Criss.
Yeah, I saw something about him in one of the fun facts, I think. Yeah.
Well, he was the voice in the audience that said, like, in that bit where Jasmine's talking to the audience, where she's like, "Do you think we could trust him?" He's like, "I don't think so," or whatever. And she was like, "Me neither." That was Darren Criss, who was a plant to try and give her the cue to continue on with the scene, which I just think is hilarious.
Yeah, I saw
awesome.
That it said Darren Criss in the audience and not like in the captions, mm-hmm, and I was like, who is Darren Criss? Like, are we supposed to know this character?
Do you know who Darren Criss is?
Not off the top of my head, no.
Oh. Well, Darren Criss got big off of Glee. Glee picked him up. He was the there's the flamboyantly gay guy.
Yeah, is that him?
No, he was the the boyfriend of him.
It's a genuine question.
I was just trying to get the reference. I'm not laughing at you. I'm more laughing at just like Tyler. Hey, you know this guy? Yeah, that's not him.
That's not him. It's somebody else. Why
is that him? No. Why would you assume? No,
why would you assume that's him?
It's not. No.
Are you talking about like his boyfriend
his
in the
boyfriend
show or
in
real
the,
life?
No, his boyfriend in the show. The okay. The guy who's with like the prep school guys.
I didn't watch enough Glee.
I did.
I just know that character.
See, I know him from something else. I know him as the music meister on the show The Flash.
Cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's Darren Criss.
I love Darren Criss.
Anyway, that's him.
Can I see his face?
He had some pretty decent success. He's like a...
He played Harry in a Harry Potter musical.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
But that's what started his career.
Yeah,
as like
yeah.
A, you know, and anyway. So
he's also played Hedwig on Broadway.
Good for him.
Wait,
dude.
Are you for real?
Yep. Good for him.
He replaced
him.
Neil Patrick Harris in the 2015 tour.
Wow. Oh. Dude,
really good for
to
him.
Follow up in Neil Patrick Harris and like in that kind of role, dude.
That's
all right.
Kind of incredible.
Yeah.
Anywho, shoot. So they all got really big off of StarKid. This was originally a passion project where they were just making musicals for fun, like just fun little whatevers. It started with a Harry Potter musical, and then that popped off, and I'm really glad that this is E, rated E, because they followed it up with a musical in 2009 called Me and My Dick, which was received to very muted, muted response. A Harry Potter sequel, which got good response, and that response from that started like really generating cash flow,
mm-hmm,
to where they could afford Starship, which was a very high production value show. It is all puppets, and it's really cool.
Oh, okay,
really cool. You would jive with it.
I was about to say, I love my puppets.
Yeah, it's really well done. Holy Musical Batman, which got mixed reviews. I liked it, but it's not my favorite. A Very Potter Senior Year, and then, of course, they came in with Twisted. Once Twisted wrapped, that's when everyone started really popping off, and they kind of went their separate ways. And then Jeff Blim, the guy who played Aladdin, yeah. started taking a much more authority, much more leadership role in Starkid. I think he got promoted to, like, one of the head people. I don't know to what degree. But once he started really coming in and writing everything, he wrote The Guy Who Didn't Like Musicals, he wrote Black Friday, and now they're working on something that's going to drop in February of next year. So that's pretty much the history of Starkid, and it's super cool, and it's a lot different now that Matt and Nick Lang are gone, and I will say that. The Guy Who Didn't Like Musicals is very good, and then Black Friday is garbage. It's not good, bro. It's very bad. It was super disappointing. But yeah, so that is the history of all of that.
Cool. Well, I know I saw one fun fact that I didn't write down. There really weren't that many. So like, and most of them weren't very nice. Most of them weren't super like interesting. So I really just pulled a couple.
Okay.
But one that I did saw was that this musical specifically was funded entirely off of fans on Kickstarter.
That's so
like
cool.
Entirely.
Wow, that's cool.
So that I thought was pretty cool when you were talking about the whole history thing, but. If y'all don't have any more thoughts, I can dive into this plot here.
Let's dive in. Let's
All right. Jafar, the royal vizier, walks through the magic kingdom while conversing with the villagers, who blame him for all of their problems in Dream a Little Harder. The captain of the guard informs Jafar of a thief named Aladdin, who had recently terrorized the populace, leaving 5 people in total dead, 3 of which were guards that choked on poop, and who also humiliated the visiting Prince Ahmed of Pixar.
They choked on
it
shit.
It cracks me up. So in the YouTube captions, they just put it as just like Pixar, just mm-hmm. normal. But here they actually spell it differently. It's PIK-ZAHR.
Yeah.
So it's like a little more hidden.
Why they say Pixar.
Yeah, Pixar.
It's not even close.
It's not even close.
There's a hyphen in there.
And that's why they call it Magic Kingdom instead of Disney.
Instead of Disney. Of course. So Aladdin then appears, gloating that he lives by taking whatever he wants in I Steal Everything. Jafar returns to the palace, but is greeted by an angry Prince Ahmed, upon whom the princess has set her pet tiger.
One of the funniest scenes in the show, in my opinion.
It is so funny.
I did not think. So you had told me about this scene a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when you told it to me, I was like, I mean, okay. Like, you had told me, and you were like, it's so funny. And I was just like, I don't see it. I don't think it's going to be that funny. And so when it started getting to that point, I was like, oh, boy. Like, I'm really worried that I'm not going to, like, fuck with this plot line at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up liking it. just because, honestly, the way that, like, the actors portrayed it is what cracked me up so much. Because if someone had, like, either leaned into it too much as like his supporters and been just like doing it to be goofy instead of genuinely, like, there was a YouTube comment that I saw because since this isn't like on Prime or anything, I just pulled a couple of YouTube comments.
Oh, sure.
And one of them that I saw, they were like, I love that they are not like making fun of him. They are actually praising him for like accomplishing this feat of like fucking a tiger.
Yes.
And that's what made it funny is right. that it wasn't them just mocking him, just being like, wow.
No,
like,
they think
like,
it's awesome.
They thought it was awesome and they kept like wanting to talk about it as like this really great thing that he had done. And he's like, no, don't talk about it. Like, it's not, that didn't happen.
Tiger fucker.
And that's what cracked me up. Because when you told me, it sounded more like they were just mocking him, and I was like, "Well, that's not that funny." But then when like you see it, and it's them actually being like, "Yes, it's our prince, the guy who accomplished this." It's actually funny.
All hail Ahmed, the
tiger
fucker.
I will say, and I know this wasn't the point, and it didn't like take away from the musical, but with the fact that they had like the monkey puppet and the parrot puppet, I really wanted a tiger puppet like so bad.
Yeah.
I was waiting for the tiger puppet and then he never came out, or she never came out, and I was very upset.
Yeah.
That Abu puppet is nightmare fuel.
It's so funny because so the bad. Eyes are so terrifying, but like the rest of it's like, okay, it's not, maybe I'm just tripping out about the eyes. And then the lip curls up to reveal the teeth with the, and I was talking to Monkey and he says we should just kill you. And then the lip curls up and like, ah! It just becomes terrifying.
And that's the thing, though, is it's a super scary looking puppet, but it's well made.
Right.
Like, it's a very well made puppet. Oh, all the intricate things with it that are moving, and I'm just like, okay, I see you making some good puppets.
And now I'm kind of thinking, oh yeah, no more fucking raisins.
I really liked, was it Jeff Blim? Is that his name? Yes. I loved him.
He's an incredible performer.
I was obsessed with him the whole time.
I love that he just like leaned into it so much. He really wasn't afraid to get gross with it. You know, like that's like what made his performance specifically so impactful. Yes. Like at first, like you were just like, maybe he's not that bad, and he's like really pushy, and then he's like, I'm a thief. I fucking take what I want.
Yeah.
And I was you're like, oh.
I was like, oh.
This guy's a bad guy.
I was like this woo!
Yeah, because of course he is. He's a thief. He's a, you know what I mean? Like, he's a criminal.
And anybody who would ever steal something is a horrible person.
Exactly.
Clearly.
Obviously.
Clearly.
No, it's one of those things. It's not that.
You bring so much heat.
Sam just likes to upset Tyler, and so he'll just, like, say something that he knows makes Tyler go, but it's super not that.
Like, I mean, I'm just,
like, so outlandish.
I don't know. It's so obvious that you don't really think about it, right? Like, you know, because Aladdin's the street urchin who steals, but he's got a heart of gold and he gives bread to the kids, right? In Aladdin, that's what he does. And it's like, orphans, you want some bread? Fetch your fucks! And then he takes the kid's crutch because he's an asshole. Oh, it's so
funny. My gosh. No, I was just, I was really into the, just his portrayal of, like, douchey Aladdin.
Yeah.
I was really into it. Like, specifically when Jafar runs off stage and he's like, I hope she hasn't been, like, you know, grabbed by some sex-crazed hooligan. And then literally, here comes right this way, right this darling, way. Like, in from the other side. And I'm just like, oh my god.
Hilarious.
And I was, so anyway, let's continue. So,
yeah, just gonna get back on that high from before. You want to get high?
He just, like, everything he delivered.
Oh, I rolled this joint.
Everything he delivered was so, like, he really did believe every inch of his own bullshit, and
yes.
I loved it.
Yes.
But
why is it working?
But insulted, Prince Ahmed declares war on the Magic Kingdom. Jafar berates the princess for her actions and carelessness, while she naively longs for a life of freedom in everything and more.
Dude, Jasmine is such a crackhead. I love her so much.
I really liked her a lot. Like, again, in the way that you would talk to me about it, because he gave me, like, a full lore dump on Twisted, like, back when I was still working at Domino's. This is a long time ago. And so he goes into the whole thing with Jasmine, and I was just kind of like, I mean, okay. But then, like, watching it, but again, it was just the way she performed it was, like, so good, and, like, and again, sold me completely on the idea of this just completely naive princess.
Yeah.
Who wants all of these good things, but also, like,
has,
you know,
has no idea how to get them.
And doesn't have any self-awareness at all. And
and that's the thing, is on paper, she's such a so frustrating funny. Character.
But you care about her right. because of the way she portrays it.
You slaves could never understand. I just want to be free so badly. Like, but she says it with, she says such a ridiculous line
and
with
just
such
like,
conviction.
Yes, princess, and then just like exit off stage. Like,
what is it? Do you know they make these in sweatshops? Where have you been? Spinning silk in your private sweatshop, mistress.
And she's like, that was the line that like kind of sold me on the whole show was when she goes, you work in one of those? You're part of the problem. Honestly, that was the first moment I went, okay, I might fuck with this.
You're supporting a corrupt system. You're a part of the problem. And the slave just looks at me, yes.
That was honestly the first moment where I was like, okay, I'm kind of with it. Like,
that's awesome.
But that yeah, so funny. Jafar finds out that the Sultan has... Okay, the Sultan.
Incredible.
That character.
With the triple handlebar mustache? Did you all catch that?
Yeah, trust me, I that's all I could look at. It was so just his good. Mustache.
It's so bad.
But he comes out, and I knew, of course, his voice was going to be something crazy. So I was expecting that. But then what he
says. I know what he says to his, like, this room full of the people who are, like, appointed like, to him.
And it's like, it was the fact that, like, I thought he was done for a second. Like, he was like, years ago, I took my finger and I pushed my penis in. And then he just stops and just, like, shrugs at the audience. Like, that's all I gotta say.
And it hasn't come out since.
And then he said that and then he just goes, I will now take questions. And I'm just like, hold on.
Well, it's such a perfect misdirect because... First of all, you like the second he goes back in time in his head and starts having that like fantasy is immediately when the show goes from good to great, in my opinion. Because Follow the Golden Rule is an incredible, just like fun, uppity, like, you know, jive like song that's just really,
it's
really
It's very, not the same message, but very much the vibe of like Hakuna Matata.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, just like a fun little bop, you know?
It's a fun romp with a good message, and then for that to be immediately flipped on its head with Follow the Golden Rule to follow the gold and rule from the from the viziers. Like, first of all, that sequence was incredible. And then now they're talking, you know, the whole thing with Sherazade and all that stuff, but now you're meeting the Sultan, and it's this whole, behold, behold the holy man, he of the two legs, which is incredible. And there's a whole big build-up.
He keeps going.
He keeps going. I was like, is he gonna, like,
he
just go
shut
for 5 minutes?
And then it's like, he will now speak in his holy voice.
Many years ago.
Like, that is just such a...
I took my finger.
That's such an incredible setup for a joke.
How does it come out then?
And we haven't even talked... We skipped over Sherazade. Sherazade was like, oh my God. So the fact...
She was stunning. And she was like just so good also because I'm like watching her performance and I'm just like... You know, she is not on stage super often.
Yeah.
She comes in, she has, like, this moment with Jafar. You see them, like, you know, being a married couple, and then you see her getting, like, swept away by the Sultan, and next thing you know, she's dead. And so it's, like, it's a whole thing where acted the wrong way, and if the chemistry was off between her and Jafar, you don't care about Jafar's whole... everything. You're just like, oh, well, why does it matter? Like, she's not that important. But they, like, they built it up so well, like, between the two of them and, like, their chemistry and, like, their story and everything,
and it's
to where when she's taken away, you're actually like, no, like, I don't like this. Like,
well,
bring
me,
her back.
The
like,
first time, it made me cry because it was just like, Jafar, they just set him up as this tragic character who's doing his best and nothing is working. And so you take it back to a time where everybody loved him and he was like the hope, the pride and joy of the town. And he's going in to try and, you know, be a politician and make change. And, you know, all hell is breaking loose and nothing is going right. And he finally meets this girl who's beautiful and will give him the time of day. You know what I mean? And it sets up this incredible relationship. Small things like her buying the bird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she bought Iago for the sole purpose of, like, trying to keep him honest by throwing his words back at him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in such a succinct way that's so clever and so beautiful.
I will say this. So, you were talking in the beginning of the podcast about how, like, oh, this is how I tell if my friends like me. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, as I'm watching this, I'm like... This is just, like, walking through Tyler's mind and his insecurities and, like, what he wants out of life. Because literally everything with Jafar, like, everyone just constantly, like, I'm about to do a deep dive on Tyler's psychology.
But everyone,
like, blaming Jafar for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, all of that. I was just like, that's literally all of Tyler's, like, insecurity and shit just being put right in front of all of us. And I'm just like... I get it.
Yep.
like, I get why you vibe with it so hard because, like, literally, this is just like your whole cognition being put in front of like everything.
It was why it hit such an emotional chord with me is because of just how profoundly this hits home to have this main character who is nothing but the best intentions for everyone around him, but it just isn't. Fucking working. It's just never working out, right? And he's getting dumpstered on and blamed for all of these horrible things that are happening.
Yeah, but if she believes in him, then he must be pretty great.
I know, and that fucking made me cry. Oh my God. Like, it's so sweet. And so, like, but that's the thing, right? Like, not to go super, you know, derail so much into my backstory, but, like, with my family life, it has been there's been a lot of, like, things are finally going to be good. Oh, and then something is 400 times worse, and now we're like 30 steps back. But it's cool because we're taking 20 steps forward, and then 100 more steps back. And it's just like this, right when things are really, really good, and you think that things are about to pop off, bam, meteor out of nowhere, and it knocks you back down. And to see that captured in my favorite medium ever, and articulated in such a way, dude, I'm just a wreck when I watch this because it's so poignant and hits so home with me that it's like Jesus. It's like they wrote this specifically for my experience. And so you're watching this and you're going, but what is he gonna do? And he just like keeps moving and keeps trying, and we'll get to why the end, like just like at the 11th hour, just completely destroys me in a minute. But it's exactly like you said.
Trust me, every like new minute, every time something new happened, I was just like, I totally get why he vibes with this so hard, because it was just like a new element of Tyler's psyche every scene. And I'm just like, wow, like, yep, here's one and here's the other, yep. And oh, there's that one. And just like every scene, I'm just seeing more of it. And I'm like, I totally get why like you fuck with this so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Jafar finds out that the Sultan had ordered the execution of the 2D department and wrecks his room. In the ruckus, he finds a golden necklace that reminds him of his past in Sands of Time. In a flashback, Jafar is loved by the villagers and teaches them to follow the golden rule. On his first day on the job as assistant royal vizier, Jafar discovers that the royal vizier and his court are corrupt and only care about money. The golden rule evil reprise. His mood is lifted when palace storyteller Sherazad tells him the story of the Tiger Head Cave, which contains an oil lamp housing a wish-granting djinn. Jafar and Sherazad fall in love and marry in 1001 Nights. The Sultan is attracted to Sherazad and claims her as his wife. She gives Jafar her scarab necklace and vows that they will be reunited one day. Back in the present... Yes.
Oh, more. So another thing too, talking about like the different layers of my fucking psyche. Jafar goes through his whole backstory is like big time atheist, right? Mm-hmm. And like that whole, like he starts off as like, I only believe in what I can touch and feel. And it was Sherazad that was like able to express to him, you know, magic is nothing if not touches the soul. And there's no greater feeling than that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's explaining to him, she's like, no, you're missing the point. There's more to it than that. And this hit right when I started to like open my mind to like the concept of spirituality, because I'd started most of my life atheist as hell. And I started getting into spirituality right when this musical came in. As I was saying, what was it? Continuity. So, atheist. Jafar was an atheist, and it's pretty cool. Anyway,
just like you.
Just like
just
me.
Like all you. Right.
No, I'm just kidding.
Sherazad opened his eyes, and I just, I don't know. It hit, and it came in right, like, at a time where I started opening my eyes to, like, the concept that there's probably more out there than just, like, this atheistic principle of, like, nothing is nothing, period, and that's it. It's this life, we're on a rock, whatever. And, I just think that that's really beautiful that it chronicled his kind of really struggling with, this is my belief. I truly believe that she's gone, but my heart is telling me that there's something more.
There was a review. God. There were several reviews that talked about that line specifically, like several comments that did. And so I'll mention one of them. Well, hold on. Did I write down one of them? No, but because there were several and they were all the same. And so I didn't write them down. But it was essentially saying that that line of like, you know, him being like, you know, science and reason has always, you know, been like the whole thing. But in spite of all of that, I still feel like she's out there somewhere, which I thought was really cool. And there were a lot of people that apparently really resonated with that line.
It's so beautiful. Well, because the line specifically is, science says you're dead and gone forever. Reason says I'm talking to the air. But something in my heart, some secret hidden part, illogically insists that you are there. Fuck me. That's so good. So it's like I'm sitting here watching this musical about a scary monkey and dick jokes and Aladdin being a 33-year-old predator. And it's like, and you're like, haha, you know, this whole thing is funny. And the next thing you know, you're like crying. And it's like, this musical is amazing.
Well, back in the present, Jafar decides to seek out the Tiger Head Cave and the wish-granting djinn in If I Believed. The princess meets Aladdin and is entranced by his lack of concern for royal power and his freedom, although she is oblivious to his sexual advances. He then talks about his past and how he recently became an orphan, orphaned at 33.
Which is insane.
I think this was my favorite song in the show.
Really?
Orphaned at 33 was just...
Orphaned at... 33.
It was just the most ridiculous thing in the world.
It was actually very funny. Again, I loved all of Aladdin's stuff. Like, he just really cracked me up. Yeah. Like, being this douchey guy who, like, is just so absurd and, like... Of course, up until he turns out to, like, be, oh, he's actually, like, bad.
Oh, yeah, he's a villain.
But up until that point, he's just, like, kind of a fun douchebag. And I'm like, okay. And so, like, yeah, this scene specifically, him talking about, like, you know, if I still had my parents around, you know, they would still be, like, taking care of me. And I wouldn't have to do all of this and, like, kill all these people. Right. And, like, oh, my gosh, it just
all
cracked me
up. Considered, I think I turned out pretty good. And he's, like, sticking his thumbs out like a fucking idiot.
Oh, my God. It cracked me up, dude. He was just so funny. But no, so before they can kiss, they are caught by the royal guards, which they got, like, as close as you could get. It cracked me up because it was almost like the queue was a little late because they walked in and you could see that they had, like, basically just purposely missed and waiting for the queue. And then because they pulled away really weird. And I was just like, those people came in just, like, a little bit late.
Yep.
Yeah, so they are caught by the royal guards who throw Aladdin in prison and take the princess home. Jafar bails Aladdin out of jail to go to the Tiger Head Cave and retrieve the djinn's lamp. The princess, Aladdin, and Jafar all reflect on what they want most, a happy ending in Happy Ending. Which that song did get me, like it cracked me up. Because Jafar is having this really serious moment, and then they're just singing about, like, the very, like, dumb things that they want.
Yeah!
Like, he's singing about all this stuff that he is going to be able to finally have. She's singing about how she just wants everything, and then it goes to Aladdin, and he just pops in with, I steal everything, and it's just, like, out of nowhere, and, well, it cracked me up.
That was another beautiful moment, too, because when he's fantasizing about the genie bringing back Sherazad, Sherazad pops up off stage. And they light her up, and then she holds out her hand, and he mimics, like, feeling her touch on his skin, and then he does that little dance with her, and then, like, right when he reaches out, the light goes away, and she disappears, and it's, and then he, like, the big ba-boom, man, with my wife beside me, like, oh my god, and then you have freaking Aladdin singing Happy Ending, talking about him getting his nut out, like, that's, it's so perfect. What more do you want, people? What more do you want
from a musical? Isn't it perfect?
Well, it's just so funny that they're at such an emotional beat undercut by Aladdin. I can't wait to be your rich dude.
Well, as Aladdin exits the Tiger Head Cave and discovers the secret of the lamp, he decides to take it for himself. Prince Ahmed returns to the kingdom of Pixar and despairs that he will only be remembered as a throwaway joke. No one remembers Ahmed. Believing that destroying the princess's kingdom will win her affections, he and his soldiers march to war. Back in the Magic Kingdom, Jafar tries to warn the princess about Aladdin. The captain tells them that a parade had happened, which I loved. That whole scene between Jafar and the princess where he's like, if a song happens, it means a dick is on the way. And, like, it cracked me up because that is so, like, so what's hilarious to me about that is, like, just, so, one, it's obviously, like, you know, like, poking at Disney, of course, but it's also a very, Christian statement to say.
What?
like, straight up, like, people would always compare, you know, like dancing and certain types of music with, like, sexuality and, like, things like that. Anything with a drum beat, essentially, was, like, sexual and promiscuous. And
that's,
like,
why Elvis
that.
Was viewed in such a,
yep.
A horrible
and so, lighting. So when he's, like, a song comes, it means a dick is coming. And I was just, like, it was cracking me up because it's something that I've heard many times growing
that exact
up.
Exact sentence.
A song is a dick in sheep's clothing.
Like, it cracked me up so bad because they would just be like, dude, if you start dancing and you get within a foot of each other, that's how babies get made. And like straight up. And so like listening to it was so similar. It was, for me, it was the one of the most relatable moments because I was just like, oh my goodness, like you're throwing me way back. But that cracked me up so bad, especially when he started trying to sing this song and the guard just walks in on him saying something about like a song means a dick
is on the way, Jafar.
And he's just like, like, I really wish that wasn't when he walked in. Oh my gosh. Which the guard just like every single time he said in the exact same intonation, "This is all your fault, Jafar." Like, it cracked me up.
There wouldn't be any thieves if you fixed the socioeconomic inequality like you promised.
That was so funny.
It's all your fault, Jafar.
Oh, that was so funny.
Maybe if you threw a parade once in a while.
But yes, yeah, so the captain tells them that a parade had happened in the market, which left a lot of people dead, led by a mysterious visiting prince. Aladdin visits the princess, who sees through his prince disguise immediately.
What the fuck you know with me?
And she's like, well, you're just wearing different clothes. Oh my gosh. But Aladdin takes the princess on a magic carpet ride where he unsuccessfully tries to convince her to take off your clothes. The princess asks him to marry her. He reluctantly agrees.
Okay, so that song is amazing for a few reasons. The biggest one being everything that he's pointing out are conspiracies about sexuality coded
Disney. He was like, there's you know, the things in the there's something spelled out in the leaves, and she's like, yep. SFX.
Yep.
And like, and I recognize that for sure.
And then
like,
the priest one is the priest that marries Prince Eric and Ariel.
Yeah.
It looks like he's got a boner.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone's saying that's his knees like popping out of the dress or whatever. And so that they referenced that. They referenced Atlantis's palace that's shaped like a dick.
Because mm-hmm.
that's a thing too. So like all of these subliminal messages baked into Disney that are like being accused of, at least. He's flying around on the magic carpet pointing out these things. It's just so funny. And then the stars spell fuck each other in the back.
When he was like, when he just looks at the audience and just goes and starts doing like a tight five for a second, like mm-hmm. he's just like, so like, did you know that you can get people to like think about sex without even like talking about it? Watch. And then he turns around and just says like,
take off your clothes.
And just says that. And I'm just like, oh my God. No, he was absurd and I loved him. But no, so Jafar is framed for being a sorcerer and escapes, while also stealing the lamp from Aladdin. He imagines being visited by characters from Scheherazade's tales who claim that her stories have been twisted to the point where they are portrayed as villains.
No cap, best song in the entire show.
Agreed.
Hands down. 100%. Hands down.
Jafar accepts that he has to take the twisted path. He uses his first wish on the lamp to make himself sultan, the second to make himself a powerful sorcerer. Aladdin takes the princess hostage and reveals a darker, more sinister personality. That whole bit of him, like, talking to himself as, like, his more sane self and then his, like, essentially the Jekyll and Hyde moment.
You're talking about Aladdin?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with that.
Mm-hmm. I was getting huge Green Goblin vibes, man.
I was just getting full Jekyll and Hyde. I was like, dude, this is just like confrontation straight up.
Yeah.
But I loved it because he sold it. He did such a good job. And even that was another comment that I didn't write down was someone being like, Jeff Blim's that's his name, right? Jeff Blim.
Mm-hmm.
His performance of that scene is just like such a testament to his acting prowess that he was able to just snap so quickly, and there's no like light shift to help him. It's just him.
Yep.
And like, I just loved it. It was so good.
And that bit when right after like he finishes that whole thing, because that thing takes like 10 minutes.
It's a long.
It's a
bit.
Hot minute. Yeah.
And then after it's done, Jafar's just like, listen, I don't know what the hell is going on.
What's going on?
Like, it's just the polarizing shift, like back in
okay,
like the
Jesus
play, the
Christ,
lights come back on like normally again. He's like, okay, all right.
So I know you haven't seen The Office, but there is an episode where one of the characters just throws out this crazy idea. I don't know if you remember when she's the receptionist, like throws out like, hey, I know, what if we like take out like a life insurance policy and then we kill him and then we keep the money? And then in a talking head, it's the whole office talking. She's like, I think that's what they're doing to me, but I'm not sure. And I wanted to see their faces when I said it. And it cuts back to Steve Carell, who's like, I don't know what the fuck that was, and just continues the scene, and like, and that's all that that reminded me of, was that's that incredible. Exact moment, of just like, let's just move on.
There's one thing we skipped over, which was in Twisted, the best, like, part of the show, in my opinion, that just completely solidified this as my favorite, was after all of the villains from Disney are all singing at him, right? Sharing their altered perspectives of what happened, right? And they leave, and he's just sitting there with the decision to make, right? Am I going to return the lamp and do the right thing in the eyes of the law? Or am I going to do the right thing in the eyes of people, knowing that that is going to solidify me as a bad guy? Where I'm going to consciously make the choice to be remembered as a villain, knowing in my heart that I did the right thing. And just that entire conversation that he had with himself fucking cuts right to the bone. It's just so incredible, and it's such a well done sequence with the whole build up and everything, undercut by the I wish to have a coat made out of puppies, because it's, remember, this is a comedy show. Like, oh man, it's just that entire bit that he had by himself, just talking about it and the way and the lyrics and everything, is just, I don't know why it just slaps me in the mouth like it does, but it just is so incredible, man.
Well, yeah, no, it's okay. Jafar then realizes that the princess is his daughter, since the Sultan had his private part removed years ago, making the Sultan ineligible to have children, and that the princess was born the same day.
He inverted his penis years ago. He couldn't have children.
And that the princess was born the same day Sherazad was taken from him. Aladdin agrees to release the princess in exchange for the lamp, but before Jafar hands it over, he uses his final wish to free the djinn and take its place in the lamp. Which, hold on, we glossed over one of my favorite jokes that recurred, which was Jasmine not being able to remember Aladdin's name to double check.
Oh my god.
She's like, I gotta write this down.
Aladdin, Aladdin.
Like, and then she...
Yeah, yes,
Aladdin! Checking her hands.
It, like, she did it several times, and every time it got me. And I was just like, that is just a perfect placement for a
His joke. Name is etched into my soul. He'll always be my... Ah, I'm flaking! What is his name?
And he's like, Aladdin. She's like, I'm gonna write that down.
I'll write that down. With two L's, no, one L, two D's.
And she's weird. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
No, I loved it so much. Every time she, like, looks at her hand, like, when he first comes in, and she's like, Aladdin! And,
it's
like,
so fast. Like, it's,
yes, it's such a quick little, just, like, peek at it, and it kills me. No, that was one of my favorite recurring jokes in the whole thing.
That's great.
But, yeah, so Jafar gives the lamp to the princess, believing her youth and passion makes her the only one who can truly use its power to its fullest potential in The Power in Me. The princess wishes to bring a peaceful end to the war with Pixar, and for the kingdom to have a sultan that will make it the happiest place on earth once again. Do not. We are not doing that.
Doing what?
I thought you were doing the joke thing.
I was.
Yes.
But you didn't pick up on it because you're dumb.
Yes.
It's your joke. It's your three wishes
terrible joke about, like, you know, I wish
you
could do
this. Oh, yes.
Sorry, that's a great bit for actually, our audio listeners.
That
Russell. You know, upon
reflection. It was
reflection,
supposed to be solid, and then it was, like, he didn't get it. So it just made
I got it.
But going like this, but it doesn't matter. But
oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know.
Your angles were off.
Russell just leaves. Right.
Upon reflection, it was very funny.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Anyway.
Sorry, I'm dumb.
The princess wishes to bring a peaceful end to the war with Pixar and the kingdom to have a sultan that will make it the happiest place on earth once again. Finally, she wishes for Jafar's every happiness. News arrives of the sultan's death and a final declaration he had signed before dying, naming the princess the new sultan. Ahmed's troops arrive in the throne room, and the princess offers to buy the entirety of Pixar with Alibaba's treasure, which was discovered during the battle.
It was the most amount of money I've ever seen,
but I
was able to count all
that. That guy's just deadpan delivery of his lines and the timing was perfect.
7.6 million drachma.
So
think about the currency of drachma.
So.
Well, trapped in the lamp forever, Jafar resigns himself to his fate when he is suddenly greeted by Sherazade, reincarnated as a result of the princess's last wish. Jafar also finds out that Aladdin, dressed as the narrator of the original movie, reframed the story to make himself the hero and Jafar the villain, which would go on until Aladdin is 55 when he is killed by a bread-stealing thief. Jafar then asks Sherazade how their story ends, to which Sherazade replies that it doesn't, and they kiss in the finale and 1001 Nights reprise.
I just... Because, like, that's the thing, too, right? With movies and shows, that's why when we were watching Hill House, I'm like, if this doesn't have a happy ending, I'm not watching anything else. I'm not watching anything. I privately am a huge sucker for a happy ending, right? Mm-hmm. I really like movies that don't have one, that just, like, hit you in the face. Like, Silence, for example, that one's just pain and suffering forever. But, like... I don't know, to see someone that you relate to and someone that you can empathize with so vehemently, and to see them just get dashed against the rocks but, like, keep going, and finally, at the last minute when you don't think, when, like, all hope is lost, that's where the happy ending is. Dude, that just kills me. I love that. It just is so poignant and so powerful and good. And it's just so satisfying at the very end that the only kiss on stage is between Sherazade and Jafar. And it's just like this sparks fly. It's just incredible. I love it.
I will say my first reaction. So when they hadn't kissed earlier in the show, I was like, oh, of course they're not going to kiss. They're not going to make her, like, get up in that goatee at all. Oh, and yeah. Then at the end of the show, she had to. And I was like, that girl's a trooper.
Yeah.
Like, that girl's a trooper.
Yeah.
But yeah, that that was, like, I'm watching it. And he is, not only does he have this nasty goatee, he has a drawn-on Sharpie thing that is sweating off from how much he's pouring sweat.
And crying.
And so, like.
He cried three times in the show.
I mean, he cried a lot. And then, and so she has to go in and kiss that, and I'm like, you're a trooper, my, like, mm-hmm. like, I feel nothing but respect for you, girl.
Yeah.
And, and that was Twisted, guys.
Hey.
So I don't know if, do you guys, let's try. Let's try and rename this one if we were to.
Oh, boy.
If you had to give it a different name.
Wicked.
No!
Aladdin.
Just Aladdin!
Point Break.
But spelled wrong. Spelled Alladin.
Two L's, one D. That's weird.
Gonna say 1001 Nights.
That's what good. I was gonna say. Darn you.
Well, you guys should say it at the same time.
No.
Yeah.
Three, two.
No.
1001 Nights.
No.
That wasn't Danielle, that was Tyler, right?
Yeah, well, we just have a better connection.
I hate you guys.
Oh God, what do you call this movie? John, say Point Break.
No. I don't know. I'm trying to think of something that isn't, like, too much of a, like, giving away of things.
Oh, what about Twister, the retold story of a royal vizier?
Twister? No.
I got it. All for Loaf.
All for Loaf.
Shut up.
I guess I would just call it. Yeah, this one wouldn't make. This one wouldn't make a whole ton of sense, but I would just. This one wouldn't make a whole ton of sense, but I would probably just go with Out There Somewhere.
It's Jafar's fault.
It's Jafar's fault.
I was just gonna say my real one was gonna be just fault.
What about Not So Fast, Jafar?
Not So Fast, Jafar.
Not So Fast, Jafar!
Well, so this isn't on Amazon, so it's on YouTube. It has over 7 million views, and they don't really have, like, you can dislike something, but it doesn't do anything. Like, you can't see the ratio anymore on YouTube. Yeah. So all we can see is the likes, which it has 100... which it has...
That's hot.
It has 159,000 likes. So here's a couple of comments that I pulled. I didn't want to scroll far enough to, like, find the whole positive negative thing. So I just pulled a couple that looked interesting, but they're both positive. Mm-hmm. So This is from Abigail Straka, and it's and it goes, does anyone else love that instead of hypersexualizing Jasmine, she sets boundaries and is willing to marry someone to protect her kingdom? Also, they have they have so many references to every other Disney movie. Fit the Disney takeover of Pixar into the plot and make you cry over Jafar. Like, seriously, how? And then they just threw in at the end, TBH, when Jafar sees Sherazad and she blows a kiss, it hurts my heart.
Yes.
And then this one.
Yes, yes.
This one was from Koopa Troopa 117.
Let's go. Go, Koopa Troopa.
And it just says, I have three things to say. One, apparently Frosty has three things to say. One, the fact that Disney hasn't sued y'all into oblivion is a miracle.
They can't. They dance around it perfectly.
Two, Jeff Blim's acting during the reveal of Aladdin's insanity is incredible.
Big facts.
Three, this musical is so fun and clever and hilarious and deserves way more recognition, like a lot of what Star Kid does.
Agreed.
So, this doesn't
except
have
for a... Black Friday.
Except for Black Friday, because that show is garbage.
Yee! Right. So this doesn't have a Rotten Tomatoes score, but it does have an IMDb score out of 10. So, what do you guys... I don't have my phone, so I'll just remember it. What do you guys think this is rated on IMDb?
8.4.
A million.
Okay.
I'm going to put it at a 8.1.
Okay.
I really hope it's not. It's like a 7.8.
Okay.
8.8.
John, you're the closest. It's 8.7.
That's amazing. Yay. I love that. Yay.
Yeah. Nice. So the budget, which again was raised entirely off of Kickstarter, was $140,000 estimated.
Could you imagine if we had that
budget? Yeah, seriously, if we had that kind of money?
What did they do with that budget?
I didn't have any access to any sort of like box office or anything. I don't think they're public records. So I was just like, nah, whatever. So I just pulled like a couple of fun facts because again, most of them were just very like technical and not fun. And so I just pulled a couple. When Sherazad first meets Jafar, she says, they cut off my ear because they didn't like my face. Jafar says, that's barbaric. And Sherazad responds with, hey, it's home.
Which is Arabian Nights.
This is the an original line from the opening song in Aladdin, Arabian Nights, but it was altered for the VHS DVD release and soundtrack because it was deemed too offensive. And then the character Sherazad and the song A Thousand and One Nights is from the book Arabian Nights. Sherazad spends a night with the king, who plans to execute her in the morning. Each night, she tells him a story and refuses to tell him the ending until the next night. On the 1001st night, she runs out of tales, but by this time, the king has fallen in love with her. He spares her life and makes her his queen, and the story Aladdin's Wonderful Lamp is also in this collection of tales. So I just thought that was cool. Because I was sitting there like, I know this character's from something. What's she from? And so when that popped up, I was like, oh, okay, that's what she's from. Yeah, so who do we think each other would play? I know you already have this fully cast in your head because you've told me about
give us,
it.
I was gonna say, give us the cast.
Give us the cast. I know you already have it cast. Don't act like you're thinking. You've had this.
Captain of the Guard.
Of course, Captain of the Guard.
Pointing to John.
Yes. Oh,
yeah, this is an audio medium.
Sorry. John's Captain of the Guard. Russell is Ahmed, if ever there was one.
Yes.
Me saying that Russell is Ahmed is so honest it makes everything else feel like a lie. Samuel is Aladdin in spades. And then you... Honestly,
you've gone back and forth.
I know it's either Sherazad or Jasmine, but honestly,
princess,
I think you're Jasmine. I think you hold it down as Jasmine.
100%.
Or the princess, excuse
and
me.
And then we all know that you're Jafar.
No, I would
we
be Gaston in that one little vignette.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, of course, I'm not allowed to die until I play Jafar. And then as soon as I do, then I can get hit by a bus or something. I don't give a shit. I'm playing that fucking
role. All right, so we all have to help orchestrate this dream for him, make sure he plays Jafar, and then we hit him with a bus.
That's fine.
Hit him with a bus with a Mad Artist Entertainment ad.
Mad Artist Entertainment on the side.
With a bus during an ad read. Like, I'm in the road going, hey guys, Tyler Webster for Matt. Pong!
Hit him with a bus. We only get one take.
Bring out the bus. Don't mess this up.
Don't mess this up, Tyler. You better get hit.
Yeah, so fun fact, speaking of casting, back with my old iteration of my friend group before I met you guys, I was actually going to open up my own theater company.
This is where he tells us that he's opening up a rival theater company. Yeah. Is on the podcast.
So this is so. So if you guys, I mean, you guys, some of the board members remember me talking about opening up a theater company for reasons. Anywho, so it was an ongoing joke about just like opening up another theater company. But all that's to say, I was legitimately planning and had the framework for a theater company that I was going to start in 2020. Before I had met you guys, and that after the pandemic was over, we were going to open with Twisted. And it was already cast. Everything was already set. I actually wasn't going to play Jafar. I was going to direct it and play Robert Mannion's role. Because Robert Mannion was the guy who sings the Jafar the Ugly Overseer. And he's like, I see the back of your balls. Like all of his little side characters. And the guy who played Gaston. I was going to fill that role. And then I had it cast with all of my friends. So Mimi was going to be Jasmine. Colton was going to be Aladdin. Tate was going to be Jafar. And Bryson was going to be It's All Your Fault, Jafar. So all these different people were going to play all these different roles. Tate's girlfriend, Riley, was going to play Sherazade. And it was going to be really, really good. And then I didn't.
and then it never happened
because COVID, and then I met you guys, and then I went, wait, why would I start my own theater company when they have one that's perfectly good, and I want to be a part of what they're doing because they're probably going to run it good because I don't know the first thing about running a company.
Yee!
And then the rest is history.
And now he's on the board.
There's a timeline where I was a rival theater company of you guys, and that's kind of neat.
And it was called, never mind.
Yeah, it was called Sea Boys Productions. Because it was
called Twister, the untold story of a theater company.
Oh my god. Well, what would be the drinking game for this?
Every time It's All Your Fault, Jafar, take a drink.
Okay. Yep, I think that's good. Take a drink. And so we need a finish your drink and a shot.
Finish your drink every time.
I feel like finish your drink could happen... I mean, the puppets aren't on stage an insane amount of time, so maybe every time a puppet's on stage?
Finish your drink whenever Jasmine forgets Aladdin's name.
That's good.
That's really good. Oh, yeah, because that continues.
Yeah,
that
and
it happens enough that it's a thing, but not enough
so much where you're
going
to, like, die.
With me, it's definitely take a shot every time you start crying like a little bitch.
and then do you have to take a shot?
I take a shot when Jeannie shows up. I mean, come on.
Oh my god.
Yeah, when Jeannie...
That was another one of my favorite bits. Was just
I can't understand your godlike tongue.
He speaks only in movie quotes.
Making some reference that I'm not understanding.
Oh my gosh.
I can't understand your godlike tongue. And he's like, here's Johnny.
Here's Johnny.
Mrs. Robinson,
I
think you're trying I would say
when the genie shows up and then when Jafar turns into a genie, because that's only like twice.
Oh, yes. For what it's worth, I cast Brett as that role, by the way.
As the genie?
As genie slash the sultan slash the, I had to slit a few throats.
Yeah.
I cast Brett as that.
That guy has a lot of range, like as far as like what his voice can do, and I'm very impressed by it.
Yes, he is very malleable. He's very cool.
Favorite and least favorite moments from this.
Oh, goodness.
My favorite moment in the show is just the song Twisted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That song and like that moment in the show is just amazing. It just like brings it all like back together. And like I love like... the idea of, like, the, oh my gosh, like, these guys that you thought were horrible, really, like, all their stories are just flipped around. Like, that's the thing that impressed me most on my first watch through. At this time, I knew it was coming, so I was, like, focused on other things. But on my first watch through, when I saw it, I was, like, watching it all come around and all the bad guys, like, actually, you know, having, like, good stories right was just so cool. It was just such a cool idea, like, the way, like, they for lack of a better word, twisted around.
Mm-hmm. My favorite moment had to have been Aladdin's breakdown at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. it was absolutely incredible.
That was awesome.
And then my least favorite moment is all of the shit jokes.
Yeah. I don't vibe with that humor at all. So I completely agree.
Yeah. John?
For me, I think my favorite moment has to be no, we didn't get the bread. Yes, we got the bread back. and just dies. And then immediately, as soon as Jafar calls him to attention, he just chucks the body.
Tell that to Bafool's twin brother, Abdul.
Well, unlike Aladdin, he probably had a family that loved him.
Exactly.
He did. And least favorite moment,
Abdul. Crying.
The real rapey stuff with the steal everything, and I wasn't like, I get it, but also like, made me mad uncomfy.
Did you say your least favorite?
Yeah.
I think you just said your favorite.
Yeah, you're right. My least favorite, probably, I guess, I don't, like, all of, like, the, you know, like, weird, you know, like, forced, like, sexual stuff, like, with Aladdin, of course, like makes me uncomfortable, mm-hmm. but, like, I like it from, like, a story perspective, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like,
yeah.
I don't know that I, like, have, like, a moment that I think of as, like, my least favorite, like, honestly.
Well, there you have it.
I can't believe I'm saying this. So, my least favorite is I would say the shit jokes is like an honorable mention because mm-hmm. like I really I don't that
same,
humor
same for me
that
yeah humor potty nothing, humor doesn't really do
does
it
nothing
me.
For me that being said, that's more of like a passing glance because it's not super prevalent throughout, even though it kind of is. I really like the song that I really don't care for is the one of the last songs in the show, The Power in Me.
Mm-hmm.
I really like what they were trying to do, and I definitely think, I think the girl who played the princess was phenomenal. I just don't think her voice was right for that role specifically.
Well, in the first song, it worked very well because yes. it's such a whiny song, and so right. it makes sense. But then, like, you know, one of the roughest vocal moments happened in that song.
Yeah. Yes.
And I was like,
yeah. Yeah, oof. Her trying to sing "You're a diamond in the rough." It's
that
like that was
a
rough,
was rough like, line. Yeah. I was like, "Oh my god!" Like I'm so she tried and she did a good job, and the whole performance otherwise was very
yeah.
very good. It was just I fully agree that one song was like meh.
Yeah, and so and it sucks too because I genuinely believe that song gets like you know a time and a half better if you get someone who was able to fit that vocal style better, because the harmonies are really good, but if you're not there, like on time with those harmonies, it's gonna be a rough day at the office. So I will say that that's probably my least favorite bit, just because it could have been so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite, absolutely, hands down, no questions asked, the very end of Twisted, when he says, "The question then is whether it is nobler in the mind to be well-liked and ineffectual or moral but maligned," and then goes into the inversion of "I'll never be a hero, all the citizens adore," and he finally resolves himself to just say, "You know what, I don't care what they think of me, I'm doing this anyway because I know it's right," and it's my favorite scene, not just in Twisted, but in musicals, period. I'm obsessed with that entire scene and that entire number. Incredible.
For me, I mean, I think y'all have pretty much said all of both my favorite and my least favorite. Definitely my least favorite was every time Aladdin got really aggressive and she had to actively be like, stop. Like,
yeah.
I definitely appreciated that she like told him to and was like, stop. And I appreciated that a lot. But at the same time, that always just makes me uncomfortable in anything. And so I was just like, please listen to her. And he did until the very end. And so I was like, okay. But like, I'm not gonna pretend like I was like,
Sure.
And then, my favorite is honestly, it might be the same moment as yours. Cause I was going through all my stuff. And comedically, my favorite moments were honestly a lot of like the princess's like really funny moments. Like that one at the beginning of her with, talking to the slaves about the sweatshop, and then, her just like looking at her hand, having to like double check the name. Like, comedically, those were my favorite moments, but, like, if we're talking about serious moments, it was for sure, I couldn't remember exactly what the scene was, but I remembered it was the scene with him holding the lamp in his hands where he's, like, making the decision, which I believe is the same scene.
Mm-hmm.
But that was by far, like, my favorite, like, you know, plot-based, like, part of the show. Both in like performance, acting wise, and vocally, because like they really challenged him specifically in that scene mm-hmm. with like what he had to do, and he did a great job with it. So that was my favorite and least favorite. So, out of
say it.
No, it's actually not that funny. It's only funny in my head. So, out of 10 horrifying monkey puppets, what would you rate Twisted?
7.8 billion drachma.
I'll give it, for me, 8 out of 10.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
I'm going to slap an 8.5 on it. I definitely enjoy it. I think it is something that definitely will get better when you watch it a couple more times to unpack some of the depth, because there's a lot of stuff going on. Like, yes, there's plenty of stuff that could happen right in front of your eyes that you don't see because you happen to be looking somewhere else. Like the tiny Aladdin, like moments like that where she looks at her hand. Like, I think it definitely could be benefited by more watches. That number could go up if I watched it like one more time.
Sure.
But I'll stick with 8.5.
I, too, will rock with an 8.5. It was... Okay. No. 8.5, the comedy was right up my alley. I love that. The subliminal messages underneath the comedy was great. I love the jabs at Disney, because who doesn't love to jab at the mouse tyrant? But, yeah, no, I think it was overall a blast. So, 8.5.
How about you?
I go last. Do you know that's how this works?
Oh, but my answer legitimately, I mean, it you know, 10 if that's the honest answer, a million, billion, bajillion. It's just, I'm not kidding when I say this is my favorite. Of all the musicals that live in musical canon, this is my favorite. Of all the movies that I have seen in movie canon, because you can watch this on the TV, it's just, this is such a comfort pick, and I have seen this more than I think I've seen. It's definitely, I've seen this more than I've seen any other musical. I've seen this probably more than I've seen any other movie. I have watched this show a lot because I show it to so many people, and it's a comfort pick when you're feeling down. So it's like a million. This is best. Tippy top of the pantheon, in my opinion.
I feel very comfortable putting it with John M. Russell, putting it at an 8.5. Because I thought about putting it at an 8, and it felt a little under, and then you said, yes, 8.5, and I was like, that feels right.
Yes.
Where, like, you know, there was definitely stuff that I didn't, like, absolutely vibe with, and it definitely, like, dragged at certain points and could be paced a little faster. But overall, I enjoyed it. I liked the characters. I liked the comedy of it. And yeah, I thought it was really cool. So does anyone have any final thoughts before we get out of here?
I don't think so. If you haven't seen it, definitely watch it, because it's, if you like Disney and you like Aladdin, you're going to enjoy it more than likely, unless you really can't get down like with some of the more crude humor.
Right. Definitely expect very, especially at the beginning, they kind of front load a lot of like the crassness. And so like, be prepared for that.
Yes.
It gets a little less as everything goes on. But especially right at the beginning, it's like a decent amount of like potty humor and like stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of have to like power through that a little bit to get to some of the more like, in my opinion, better humor.
Yeah, substance.
And so, like, sure. So yeah, you will have to power through that. But if you have, like, you know, definitely don't show this to your kids. We're talking about Disney a lot. This is not this is not anything for children.
Show this to your kids. You won't.
Don't show it to your kids.
Don't be a coward.
unless your kid is, like, you know, an older teenager, in which case you can show it to your kids. But, like, this is a lot of fun. And if you, like, you know, have a bunch of friends that want to watch something both silly and like emotionally provocative, you can definitely check this out and you'll enjoy it and you get to watch it for free. So, you know, why not?
Awesome.
Just a reminder, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Mad Artists Entertainment or on Twitter at artists_mad. We are currently in production for our show The Teller, which is going to be performing on October 28th and 29th. We'll be putting out a lot more about that later on. And you can also check us out on Twitch at Mad Artist Co. To check out our stream of The Call of the Netherdeep. We didn't cut anything out. Nothing was cut.
Continuity.
Nothing was cut at all. That was seamless. But yeah, you can check out Call of the Netherdeep every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Leave us a review wherever you're listening. That helps us out a lot. And we will probably see you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Wait, what are we going to pull from the hat?
Oh, we haven't pulled from the hat.
Well, no, we can't do Last Jedi next week because
we already did Last Jedi.
Rise of Skywalker.
Well, here, I'm here.
He's gonna.
while Tyler's clinking around in the background.
Sorry, I was putting it back.
Next week, we will be watching Annette. I know nothing about it. It was recommended by our good friend Sam Marie, so maybe she'll come on and talk about it. But we will be doing that one next. So we will see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.